It kind of all ties together because we surrender first, and then we serve Him. You know what I'm saying? Allowing Him to be the Lord of our life. And day by day, I believe we do well to remind ourselves of that, you know. As it says in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And if He's going to be Lord, then that means we obey all that He says to do. Amen? I mean, that's the Lord. Otherwise, we might say He's our Lord, but if we don't follow Him, then we're just kidding ourselves. And again, He's just here lately been there wanting people to recognize truly what it is to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to be born again, what it means to be His disciple, okay? It's an awesome thing to do, but I'm telling you, when we decide to follow Jesus, it will cost you everything in the world, per se. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's going to cost you your house, but it could. I'm not saying it's going to cost you your job, but it could. I'm not saying it's going to cost this. It might cost you your relationships. I'm not saying it will, but it could. When Jesus is first in our life, not everybody's going to be appreciative of that, you know? But folks, where else would you want to go? Where else could you turn to? I mean, do we want the worldly joy for a few years and spend agony forever and ever in a place called hell? Do we want to reject God's love? Have you ever had anybody reject your love? Boy, it just breaks your heart, doesn't it? It really does. And how much more would be God? I mean, God's love for His creation. When He sees the things of the world going on, man, it breaks His heart. And you ever have arguments or disagreements on misunderstandings? Come on, if you're married, I'm going to hear an amen there somewhere along the line. Yeah, we do, you know. All the time, you know? She does all the time, don't you, Mom? But we've made a commitment 43 years ago, and so it might be a day or two, or at least years ago, not quite that long anymore, but we work things out. Amen? And folks, that's a relationship we have with God. Understand that. Understand that. To work things, not to give up. And don't say, I can't do it. Now, say, God, I need help doing this walk. I need help. And it's okay, here, number one is, here's my word. There's my word, and you got my spirit. Now, the rest of it's up to us. How bad do we want it, you know? And I think it's one thing great about the days we're living in, that we want it more and more, don't we not? We want it more, I mean, a lot of things that we put even our joy in or whatever it rests in is not there anymore. You know, how many of y'all might go to the swimming pool for summer? That's what you do all summer long, okay? Well, right now you're not doing that, I don't think. Most places are still closed, okay? So the thing that we find peace and comfort outside the Word of God is again, still not there. And so we're truly finding our peace and comfort in the Word of God, allowing it to just direct us. Okay. Hey, good morning, Lord. What do we do today? There it is. Love me with all your heart, Starkey. Okay, I'll do that. Now, love your neighbor. Okay, I can do that. Love your in-laws. Pray for your enemies. But Starkey, love yourself. Well, I can't do it. Well, who lives in you? You do? You're saying you can't love me? Oh, I love you, Lord. Okay. It's one way or the other, you know, to recognize who we are in Christ Jesus. And with that is settled in our spirit. Once it's settled, let it stay settled. And don't go back and forth. Nope, that's who I am in Christ. Don't let the circumstances of the day determine if you have a good day or a bad day. Every day is a blessed day as you follow Jesus. Okay, I have days I prefer over other days. Amen? But I mean, every day is just, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Maybe when you first get married, maybe that might be the attitude in the relationship. Hey, what do we do today, honey? Oh, I'll do this. Oh, okay. And we're going for breakfast. Oh, I want this. And we're going for supper. I want this. But as time goes on, you start wearing down, right? Hey, fishing beckers, get yourself. You know what I'm saying? But it can't, okay. But I mean, I'm not speaking against marriage. I'm just saying, if we learn, when we learn to put her needs first, I'm happy. Happy wife, happy life. But see what I'm saying? If we can find our joy with Christ in us serving others, wow. There's nothing you need to give me a bad day. You know? Because here I am serving her. Now she's serving me. I mean, you can't beat that. Putting other people first, that's what Christ wants us to do. That's what he did, right? And it brings a peace too. Now, I understand sometimes when you do that, people are going to reject it. Or, you know, if they're in the world, they're going to think this, yeah, what do they want? Because they're so used to being used. So used to only having someone say they love them or be with me because they want something that you have. Okay? And they don't know any difference at times. You know? The world is really mixed up right now, amen? I mean, they don't know which way it's going. I mean, it's round in circles, and you can be in a crowd, and you can be everybody doing this one thing, and you got a different word, you know? Oh, they're all going after, yeah! I mean, just boom. And the master called it, man, it's like sheep without a shepherd. You know? And that's where we are. If we're not with Christ, we are sheep without a shepherd. We're just wandering around trying to find a grass to eat, you know, someplace to graze for a while. But when we come to him, this is our grazing. This is our word for us to live by. When we say, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, my. Shepherd feeds his flock. Shepherd watch out for his flock. Shepherd protects him. He even builds a little hut for him in the wintertime. You know what? Think about all the shepherd would do. Well, the master describes himself. And King David described God that way. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why? Because he's going to take care of me. Wow. He helps us in many, many ways. I believe one of the great things he gives us is advice. He gives us direction. Amen. I heard the lady saying thank you, and the guy's going, You know? But for all of us, direction. Well, I'm not sure what to do. Direction, you know? Sometimes we say, well, I don't know. I need a job. I don't know which job to take. I don't know which one. Okay. That's up to you. But whatever job you take, as they say, serve Jesus. Amen? Wherever you go, serve Jesus. You know? Brother Bruce kind of threw me off there. He's sitting clear back here in the back. I thought, I'll be lost all day today. You know what I'm saying? But you know what I noticed? You know, where Bruce is sitting up here, or he's sitting back here, he's still praising Jesus. You know? No matter where he sit at. So if you come to church and somebody's sitting in your favorite pew or your seat, sit somewhere else and praise Jesus. You know what I'm saying? We can find ourselves getting to that rut. You know what I'm saying? Everything has to be a certain place. You got to sit here and do this. Otherwise, your day's all upside down. And I challenge you someday, sit in a different chair once and see what happens. Okay? Maybe it's for you, Bob. You got to sit right there. Keep an eye on you. I tell you what. But the scripture, again, that we've been plowing in, and we started plowing back in January, and we've been really digging into the four scriptures that the Lord laid upon our hearts. But James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Because remember, I mean, it just... When you talk about studying the Word and breaking it down and looking deep into the Word, wow, we got to have it doing it here, don't we? And you guys do the home, you know. I get texts all the time of people who are studying this or studying that and have questions. And it's awesome to sit there at 8 o'clock at night and get a text. Hey, what does this mean? Or what do you think? Man, it's awesome. So, yeah. What did I tell you to go? James 4. Okay. It says in verse 7, Submit therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Now again, James, the brother of Jesus, is sharing this with us, you know. And he's talking to those who follow the Master. And if you look at it again, when we read it, submit therefore to God, if you change that word and put, so place yourself under God's authority. It's a little easier to understand that way. Place yourself under God's authority. Boom. Now, how many of us here wants to be under the authority of our Constitution? Isn't that our rights and stuff? Right? Amen. I mean, yes. And, I'm going to read the Passion Translation in a moment. Yeah. Yep. But the authority is awesome. If we submit ourselves, and the Bible talks about that, to place ourselves under authority. And Jesus is the greatest authority there is. Amen? So place yourself under Him as His followers. Okay? If you want to follow Jesus, we place ourselves under His authority. And again, Carol mentioned the Passion Translation. It says, so then, surrender to God, stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will turn away and run away from you. Move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will come even closer to you. Man, isn't that awesome? You know, and I shared this, I think, last week. I was sitting on the altar, you know, and the best way to resist the devil sitting here and God sitting here. The devil ain't in church, okay? It better not be, okay? But how best way to resist his is for me to move closer to God. Okay? Stand in a second, Daryl Roy. Do you mind? Thank you. He'd be in the back row next week, right? Picking on you. Now reach over and grab my shoulder, can you? Okay, see that? Well, look, when I move just a little bit, you're having a harder time reaching me, okay? Just a little bit of movement. So look what happens to us as we move to God. We just move. We're resisting Him. You don't have a chance to get a hold of me right now, okay? So as I move closer to Him, I am resisting Satan. And I know at times we always think about putting the boxing gloves on and we're going to fight Satan. And we're going, no, just draw closer to God. You know, and in fact, when I get a little farther away there, in my own mind, I imagine in Psalms 91, he says, I got my angels assigned to you to watch over. I give room for my angels to get between me and the devil. You know what I'm saying? That temptation. And the Spirit of God, if I start looking back at Daryl, I don't know. I wasn't that bad. As soon as I start going this way, the Spirit of God will speak to you. He said, nah, remember where you came from. Remember, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You don't want to do that. But he won't stop me. Understand that. He'll give me every reason. We have to have that desire in our heart that I am done with it. I no longer want it. That place is, I don't want it. I don't care how sweet it looks. I don't care how scary it is today where my life is. I'm not going back where I come from. Because when you go back where you come from, you're more familiar with it. You find yourself more at peace with it. A fake peace. Because you've been there and done that. Have you ever went to a school and then you get transferred midway? Okay, I never had. Well, I went from Fresno to West Lafayette. You're familiar. I'm familiar at Fresno school. Okay. Oh, I know. I mean, it's just a rural school. You know, you like all that stuff. You can sit there and instead of doing your homework where the teacher's talking, you watch them plow the fields and stuff. You know, you get really familiar with it. But yeah, or you draw. Yep. But when we got transferred from Fresno to West Lafayette, I went into a very unfamiliar place of people I didn't know. And man, if I had the opportunity, I would have took off and went back to Fresno. But I didn't have the opportunity. I stayed there, okay? But as I did, man, I got new friends. Different people I hung out with. I get a different, Atmosphere. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Yes. Yeah. Different atmosphere and stuff. And after a while, this over here became norm. Okay. It's the same way with our walk with the Master. You know? And as we get farther away from over here, closer to God, and He's the one that we want, we're going to hear less and less of the temptation from the devil. You can't tempt me that. You've done before. I know you've done it to me several times. I fell back so many times, but not anymore. I have decided, Jesus, I'm going to follow Him with everything I got. And when that's in our spirit, I'm telling you what, we're resisting the devil. We're going closer to God. You know what He does? The Bible says He draws closer to us. So, I'll be God for a second. Here I am. Now I can see Starkey's coming closer to me. So God's doing this. Draw me in. Okay. Now, if I turn and go back that way, He'll do everything that He can to convince me not to do that. But He'll never override my free will. You know? Sometimes you wish you would. You take my free will away, and boom, but He doesn't want that. You know, He wants people to love Him for who He is and to follow Him. And that's how we do it. That's how we... You have a seat in there for a minute. Oh, wait. No, just kidding. Because a lot of times we say, man, I just want more of God. Okay. You have all the God that you want. How much do you really want of Him? How much do you really want of Christ in your life? You have every bit as much that you want. It's allowing Him access, you know? My wife and I joke around a lot. You hear me say every once in a while, she'll say, "Hey, Starkey, do you love me?" Of course, what do I say? Of course, I married you, didn't I, you know? That doesn't really work 44 years later or 43 years later, okay? It's the action that, yeah, I love you. And she should be able to tell that I love her without me even asking. Okay, because I want to please her. I want to, you know, I love her. You know, I want to do for her, you know. And that's with God, you know. He loves us. He's done everything for us. We don't have to ask God, do you love us? Because He showed everything, you know. John 3:16 tells you that, right, Sidney? That God so loved the world that He gave the unbegotten Son. And you can't give more than that, okay? So sometimes I'll cry out, hey, Lord, help me understand. Let me receive that love. How can you love me? How can you love me in my life? How can you love me for what I've done? Hey, He said, man, I love you unconditionally. And that's hard for us to understand. Really hard. I think that, I don't know, parents, my mother and father loved me beyond measure, you know. I've done things in my life growing up, probably, that I hurt them. But they never thought love of me. And my God has so much more love than that. And that's hard to understand. It is. Amen, brother. Surrender to God, stand up to the devil and resist him. And he will turn away and run away from you. Move your heart closer and closer to God, and He will come even closer and closer to you. And when we look at the things in the world today, if we just take a moment and pause and look at the people that's involved in all this, if we just take a moment, as I would say God would look at them maybe, but everyone right now that we see that's really out there, if I can put it that way, they started out as a little baby. They started out in someone's probably bassinet, you know, I'm of love. Some did not understand that. But from the very beginning, God had a plan and purpose for every life. And because of things of the world, maybe the way we're treated, raised, decisions. We've all made bad decisions, have we not, in lifetime? And if we don't receive forgiveness of those decisions can become our life. Our lifestyle. Yes. But to think of something that you may have done to somebody at one time in your life and have them come up to you and say, I forgive you. How much weight does it take off of you? That's what God was with us. Where Lord, He forgave us before we even asked. He forgave us of everything. So when you see these folks out there, our hearts need to get to the point that we are angry and we're praying for them. Praying for their eyes, praying that they will find a master. And for us to live a life, that light shining in darkness, you know, that salt upon the earth, as we shared last week, to find ourselves praying for them. Yes, I want evil stopped. Don't get me wrong. I want it stopped. I want it neutralized. My heart goes out for those who've been seduced by the devil into doing his work. And they're doing a pretty good job of it, don't you think? Yes. Amen. Well, how much better of a job can we do as followers of Jesus? Think of that. I mean, you get protests going on, you get riots going on and stuff, okay? All right. Well, how much more can we do? Are we countering that? And I'm not saying marching beside him, but you know, are we on our hands and knees in prayer? You know? Prayer is very powerful. It's evil that people are falling into. It's falling the god of this world, which is Satan. So we have to have it in our hearts that we want to pray for their for them to be released from that entrapment they're under. That's where our hearts should be. That's where God's heart's at. Think about ourselves. When we weren't walking with the Master, God's heart broke for you. You know? There's probably somebody somewhere in your family maybe, or a cousin, a distant grandma from years back, spent many nights praying for your eyes to be opened, to be released from the control of the devil. Amen? Think of that. Wow. And one thing about our walk that we have, as you come up, as you're brought out of that darkness, as your sins are forgiven, you follow Jesus, now is our opportunity to pray for someone else. And live a life. Oh, man. But the only way we can live this life if we allow Him to live in us. Amen? If we have a situation in our head that there's only one life that really matters, and that's the life of Jesus Christ living in us. And when that takes place, the world's changed. Just think of everyone in the world had Jesus living in them. And that'd be awesome. You know? So we're going to do what we can do. And what we can do is let Christ live through us. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, if you would turn there for a moment. So the whole thing here, like this morning, is, okay, Lord, help me. How can I be more like you? How can I allow you to live in me? I have decided to follow you, to serve you. So I need to know more of you. So when I leave today, let me take something with me, Lord, that's going to strengthen me. Something that I know that, man, that you want me to do. That's the whole thing behind it. Amen? I believe it is. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, is anybody else hot or just me? Everybody okay? We got two hots, one cold, and three. Okay. Do what? Well, all the heat's coming from that side of the altar. I'm not sure where it's coming from. Whoa. But verse 17 of Ephesians 4, it talks about the new life in Christ. It says, "So with the wisdom given to me," Mother Paul's writing, "from the Lord I say, you should not live like the unbelievers around you who walk in their empty delusions. Their corrupted logic has been clouded because their hearts are so far from God. Their blinded understanding and deep-seated moral darkness keeps them from the true knowledge of God. Because of spiritual apathy, they surrender their lives to lewdness, impurity, and sexual obsessions. But this is not the way of life that Christ has unfolded within you. See? This isn't a life that Christ has brought into your life. That's not of Him. Amen? If you have really experienced the Anointed One and heard His truth, it will be seen in your life. For we know that the ultimate reality is embodied in Jesus. And He has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self-life, which was corrupted by simple and deceitful desires that spring from delusions. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you, and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with Him. Wow, I love that. Transformed, man. Being changed in His image. For God has recreated you all over again in His perfect righteousness, and you now belong to Him in the realm of true holiness. So discard every form of dishonesty and lying so that you will be known as one who always speaks the truth. For we all belong to one another. But don't let the passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Don't let anger control you or be fuel for revenge, not even for a day. Again, we're speaking here that Christ lives in us. Amen? That He's in us. We are dead. Don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, an opportunity to manipulate you. If any one of you has stolen from someone else, never do it again. Instead, be industrious, earning an honest living, and then you'll have enough to bless those in need. And never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth. But instead, let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them. Wow, there we go again. Can you imagine the whole world speaking nice to one another? And Jesus is asking us to do that. You know? That's what the Word of God is asking us to do. To be nice. And I'm telling you, if you ever have somebody really angry at you, and they're screaming at you, and you smile at them, say, okay. I mean, seriously, number one, have you ever won a screaming match? I have never won a screaming match, you know. The louder you get, the only way you win is one of you good horse, I guess, you know. Okay. You know, they call it, in training, they call it verbal judo, you know. If my brother Fred's screaming at me, I'll start screaming at you, but then I'll start bringing my voice down. And I bring my voice down, it brings your voice down normally, okay? But to let everything that we speak somehow to have a little bit of honey on it, you know? That's one thing about Ronald Reagan. Many of you here probably don't know Ronald Reagan, but he was one of our presidents, and he was called a great communicator. And he could actually speak to foreign dignitaries and basically say, we'll come over here and blow you guys clean off the map in such a way that they would greet him and invite him over. You know? But never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth, but instead let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to them. The Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. And that will be when we're face to face with the Master in heaven. Amen? So never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted His holy influence in your life. Lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, and insults. But instead, be kind and affectionate towards one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. Wow. And all this that He presents to us in this writing, all of it is completed with Christ in us. He has not told us or asked us to do anything that we can't do because Jesus is in us. We got to just have that heart, that desire. And again, the word that that jumps out to me is like in verse 24 when he says, "And to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life and live in union with Him." To embrace Him and let Him transform you. And that is our desire. That should be our desire. Oh man, okay Lord. Yesterday was a tough day, but man, I'm still here. Oh, yep, I see what I did now. I see what I did. Man, I gave Satan an opportunity yesterday. I shouldn't have done that, you know. But today I'm not going to let Him do it. And again, wanting ourselves. We want to be that light that shines in the darkness. Amen? But again, during that, He doesn't want us to forget this, who you are in Christ. I know we want to shine our light. We want to be the salt of the world. We want to do all this. Please don't forget who you are in Christ Jesus. And you're a child of God, born again. Name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and He loves and cares for you. He wants only the best for you. And He provides for us that we serve Him. Amen? Amen. And I just, when I read this, and my scriptures here, my Bible says it's the new life in Christ. When you read that, read it often. It just helps encourage you. And I read from the Passion Translation, some of King James, and we got New American Standard. But I just find that it's very encouraging when it says in 28, "And never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth." So, if that happens, our prayer in the morning, "God, just help me keep my mouth shut. Let my words be honey." Okay? Because what the Master is doing, if you're allowing Him, He's transforming us. And we find ourselves not thinking like we used to a degree. We're not speaking like we used to. And sometimes the reason we're not speaking the way we're used to is because we're keeping our mouth shut more, right? Amen? I mean, yeah, we're learning, yes. And we're learning maybe to listen more and speak less. But when we speak what God will want us to say, to encourage one another. Amen? And so that's what He wants. So we need the best way to resist the devil is to move closer to God. And next week we'll continue with a couple more verses in that area there. But what He doesn't want us ever to do, it's our choice, but is to walk away from Him. Walk away. We are more than conquerors, the Word of God says. We're victorious. And anything that you put your mind to, God is there with you to help you through it. But to love one another, forgive one another, and put others first. Put one another first, and your life will be a lot better. You have a peace. I don't know, God will just be like Jesus. I mean, 12 hours before He'd be crucified, He's eating dinner. I mean, He had evening dinner or was the Last Supper. I mean, He's hanging out with friends, having a bite to eat, knowing the next day He's going to be crucified. But He had that peace in Him because He knew that He was doing the will of the Father. And we have the same as we know that we are doing the will of our Heavenly Father. We'll have peace no matter where He takes us at. Amen? Amen. Any questions about this morning? Okay. Hey, if you ever do have any questions, get a hold of me. I'll do my best to explain things. If I can't explain them, then I just won't answer the phone, I guess. But no, I'll do my best. And I never have any dumb questions. And again, Satan, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And sometimes his biggest weapon is keeping a sin over your head. The Bible says that we need to confess our sins. And so if you have a trouble of sin, man, get a hold of me. It'll be one-on-one. I'll pray with you. We'll bring out into the darkness, from the darkness to the light, and we'll destroy that thing in the name of Yeshua. And no longer have any control over you. Amen. Well, may the good Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He turn His face toward you and grant you peace. May you walk in the victory that Christ brought you at the cross. May you realize the power and authority you've been given to the name of Yeshua. May His blessing rest upon you, your household, and the generations following after you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.